This is Doug Miller, the pastor of the church, or pastors in a church. Which is it? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand. Our privilege to be able to speak and to know that this Word is going out, and it's an awesome privilege and one that carries great responsibility with it. And to that end, I have said many times, I covet your prayers. It is never a light thing to go before an audience and to say, this is the truth, follow it. And of course, it's something that we down here take very seriously and take up with a good deal of humility. And not that I have the truth and everyone else is ignorant, but that if I have the truth, it is by the grace of God and by his power. And I need your prayers to put it out there. So pray for Dialogue. We also, of course, covet your support. This is a faith ministry. We cannot exist without your prayers and your support, your word of mouth, advertising for us. So pray for us. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, let me also give you our email address. It's dialogueministries.org. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. You can email us if you wish to. And I'm sorry, I said that was our email address. Let me correct that. You get busy making mistakes right up front, you know, get them out of the way, then maybe you don't make any the rest of the time. Dialogueministries.org is our webpage. And you can pull down the webpage and pull up broadcasts and listen to them or read about Dialogue or what have you. Now, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. That's for those of you who don't like to write letters. And if you'd like to email me, I will frame an answer for you, which I hope will be sufficiently intelligent to engage your interest. Okay, what else? Well, we have a phone number. If you want to call, our phone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and I will get back with you. All right, what else can I tell you? Put this down. Listen to me carefully. Just about a month from today, not quite, but just about, May 12, which is a Saturday, the annual Dialogue Conference will be held in downtown Oklahoma City. Now, last year we held this at Camp Klassen down in the Arbuckle Mountains. This time we are going to do it in Oklahoma City, downtown, at the Character Inn. Okay, that is on West Main, just west of Walker in downtown Oklahoma City. And the conference will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning and will end that afternoon sometime early enough, I think, for you to get, I know, for you to get back home and get ready for church the next day. So we'll end it, 4 o'clock or so. The subject that I'm going to be taking up, question, is God through with national Israel? There are many that say that he is. This guy talking to you says that he is not. And whether or not he is of extreme importance to us in this day and time when we are rapidly approaching the end of this dispensation. So I pray that you will come along. We've got room in the conference room there in downtown Oklahoma City for about 80 or 90 people, or we'll crowd you in somehow or another if more come. Might be a good idea to just let me know if you're coming and how many are coming with you. We will not be serving a meal this time. We did at Camp Klassen, but there's no need for us to in Oklahoma City because there are plenty of places to eat around there. We will have about a two-hour break from noon to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Give everyone time to go out and get something to eat. And let's see, I think that's all I need to tell you about the conference. Come on out. Delighted to have you. No charge. Everything free, just like everything else in Dialogue. We don't charge for anything. All right. Let me tell you that we'll open your Bibles to Acts 20. And let's see what we can come up with today. We left at verse 17 of chapter 20 last time, and we're going to take it up there again today because what follows is extremely important. Now, let me apologize ahead of time to all of the pastors of the church out there, wherever you are. If you're the pastor of a church, you will no doubt find what I have to say here offensive. I hope not. I hope that you will listen to me and understand where I'm coming from and what the Word of God says. For those of you who are out there pastoring churches, I know that many of you are laboring away, and I know that it is difficult and can be difficult. I know that in many ways it is a thankless job. You are under criticism and you are under the gun, and people misunderstand you. And many of you in relative obscurity out there, pastoring maybe small churches where there are not many people, you're not in the lights and you're not in the glory, and no one is beating a path to your doorstep, but you are doing something that is very important to the Lord, and you will not fail to lose your reward in that great coming day. I want to tell you that right now. If you are the pastor of the church, however, and you are overworked and overburdened and can't, one of the reasons is you shouldn't be the pastor of the church. Now, for those of you who don't like to hear this, I'm going to show you some things from Acts 20 today, and I beg you, I pray that you'll take these in and listen to me and give me a hearing and see if what I am saying is not right. I'm not here to destroy or pull down those of you who are pastors. I am here, I think, to try to help you. For many years now, a long time ago, reading this Bible, I noticed something. And I have said it on here before. I noticed that in all of Paul's letters to the churches, he never addressed a letter to the pastor of the church and the saints in Corinth or Ephesus or wherever. In fact, He never wrote anything to the pastor of the church. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, and I've been telling people out there, if you know of anywhere in this book where the pastor of the church is addressed, just show me where it is, and I will throw in with you, and that'll be the end of that discussion. The pastor of the church is not scriptural. pastors, plural, in a church is scriptural. And one of the reasons that our pastors out there in churches are being worked to death and worked into oblivion and driven in, you know, I cannot tell you how many men I know who were out there as pastors in churches who one day just gave it up and said, I can't do this anymore. Whatever it takes, I'm not equipped for it. No, you're not equipped for it, because God never intended for you to do that. Pastors, plural, in a church is God's order, and it makes a difference. Now, if you're saying, oh, well, what difference does it make? It makes an enormous difference. Just like everything else in this word, if you do it God's way, you will be a lot better off, believe me. Chapter 20, Acts, verse 17, from Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now you say, well, that says elders. That doesn't say pastors. No, it doesn't say pastors, but he'll get to it a little farther down here. We'll see it. These elders are the same guys. The elders, the word in Greek is presbyteros. We get our word Presbyterian from it. If you say, well, are you a Presbyterian, Miller? No, I'm not. I'm not any denomination, and I'm not pushing any denomination. But this is the word that the Presbyterians get their name from, because they say, and they are right, Presbyterian is a form of government. It is a church governed by elders, a group of men, elders. And he called for the elders, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all times, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, you know it, said Paul. I would that all of our teachers who are out there, and there are itinerant teachers that go around from church to church teaching and preaching. The Lord has sent them out. That's good. We need them. All of you who are itinerant in your ministries, or who are in a church in your ministries, all of you elders who are out there in a church, I want you to look at this and ask yourself, could I say what Paul is saying? Am I really serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and temptations? If you are a teacher, and if you are any good at all, and if you are saying anything that is of any value, you had better understand that you're going to come under the gun, and you are going to face temptations, and there are going to be tears to it. You're going to be criticized. You cannot be out doing the Lord's work and not get some flack, because the enemy will move to stop it. And some of the criticism you get is going to be legitimate, and some of it is going to be illegitimate. That's simply the way it is. You think of dialogue here, for example. If you think I can come on here week after week after week, speaking, teaching, preaching, and not catch criticism, you are mistaken. And once again, I'm not always right. I can, you know, and when I'm not right, I need to correct that and go on about it, but go ahead. But there, and sometimes I am right, and sometimes the criticism is simply silly. But you're going to get it, and Paul got it. And he says in verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it. I love to see what Paul said he was doing. First off, he wasn't hidden behind the walls of some church or a church building. There were no church buildings back here. These churches were meeting in homes, And actually, you know, or he did, we saw earlier that he taught in Ephesus in the school, in a school there that the Lord had obviously made available for that purpose. But he also was out in the streets. He was teaching publicly, and he was teaching from house to house. Someone would say, come over and have dinner with us, and we want to hear more about you. And he did it. And what was he teaching? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something about this. There are those who teach that repentance is not necessary to salvation, that it is merely a matter of faith. In a way, I agree with them. The gospel of Paul is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how men are saved. That's how men have always been saved. And it is by believing the gospel. That gospel doesn't say anything about repentance. I understand that. And yet that's what Paul says he was teaching and preaching. Listen to me carefully. You cannot believe the gospel without repentance, because the word repentance, metanoia in the Greek, means an afterthought. That's the literal meaning. And in the Greek, it means to change your mind. You have been going along in you've been going along in unbelief. You are going to have to turn and to believe. Now, there's nothing in here that says God's going to make you believe. That's for all you five-point Calvinists out there. No. God is not going to make you believe, but he has commanded men everywhere, said Paul in chapter 17 of Acts. Remember his sermon up on Mars Hill in Athens. He has commanded men everywhere to repent. You cannot believe the gospel without repentance. The two go hand in glove. There's got to be a changing of the mind. You do not believe the gospel, and then you change your mind and you believe it. And brothers and sisters, and those of you who are unsaved out there, that's repentance. And Paul says you've got to have it. He says that's what he was teaching. Friends, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Repent and believe the gospel. Now let's move on. I hope I've made that clear enough. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, there's Paul's gospel again. And I want to tell you something. We're running out of time. We've got a little time left, but I know that probably we will never get down to what I thought we were going to get down to today, so we'll take it up next time. No rush. But look at what Paul says here. He tells what he's been doing, and now he tells where he's going. Now, I want to tell you something, and I want you to get ready for this. I personally do not believe that the Lord told Paul and directed Paul to go to Jerusalem. In fact, I think we will see it very clearly in the next chapter, chapter 21, that he tried to tell Paul not to go. I'll show it to you when we get there. And if any of you can argue that one again, well, fine. If you say, well, didn't God use that and didn't he bless that? And sure he did. God can take even our disobedience and bless it. Look at Jonah, who ran away to Tarshish instead of going where God had told him to go, up to Assyria, up to the Assyrians, and, you know, to go there and preach the gospel. No, he ran away in the other direction. All right. Was he outside the Lord's will? Yes. Was he in rebellion? Yes. Did God bless it? Yes, he did. It's the most beautiful type that we have of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus that we have in Scripture. It is the thing that Jesus pointed to himself as a type of himself. We wouldn't have that type if Jonah had not been rebellious and run away, but that doesn't mean he was initially in the Lord's will. Paul went to Jerusalem. And once again, we'll see it in chapter 21 as clearly as God can make it. God warned him not to. But more of that later. Let's get this. Let's see if we can get down into verse 25 here now. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I like that one. I like that one. There are some, you know, we do a lot with prophecy and dialogue. Did a prophecy conference a year ago. Going to do some more with that in this conference that we've got coming up. Prophecy, very important to the believers. I can't think of anything much more important other than the gospel itself. When you think about it, the full counsel of God. I have said many times, I'll say it again, a dispensationalist. I do not believe that you can understand this Bible at all if you don't approach it from a dispensational point of view. I am a firm believer that God is not through with Israel, but that he will turn back and deal with Israel once the church is raptured out of here. That's a part of the whole counsel of God. I believe that God is going to establish on this earth the messianic kingdom and the thousand-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a part of the counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God, and it needs to be proclaimed. And Paul didn't shun to proclaim it, and this guy sitting here at this mic is also not going to shun to proclaim it. If some of you disagree with it, then you disagree. I'll pray for you. All right? Now, let's close it up with verse 28 here. Paul's warning to these elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. We're not going to have time to deal with all of this one today, so let's just close out in this way. You don't make God the overseer of the church out there. If you are an elder in the meeting, and if you don't have elders in the meeting you're in, you need to have them. You are the one who has been made to overtake the overseeing of the flock. Well, that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.